Praise you, Lord. I thought we would start off with teaching this morning and get to worship as we've heard some word. It's good to have move of the word of God and the move of the Spirit of God. Kind of get us focused. I like to use something funny that we've heard along the way. You've heard some of these before, but I love the church bulletin bloopers. Written down wrong accidentally, but it comes out funny. Let me read some of these to you. The self-esteem group support group will meet Thursday at 7 p.m. Please use the back door. Thursday night, potluck supper. Prayer and medication to follow. A bean supper will be held on Tuesday evening in the church hall. Music will follow. You guys are a little slow this morning. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. in the First Presbyterian Church. Please use the large double door in the side entrance. For those of you, and then there's Omer, who's on a whole different plane, praise God. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. The senior choir invites any members of the congregation who enjoy singing to join their choir. I think they meant singing. Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Memorial Church in Racine. Come tonight and hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa. Somehow you knew that was coming, didn't you? Announcement in the church bulletin for a national prayer and fasting conference. The cost of attending the fasting and prayer conference includes meals. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's the chance to get rid of those things you're not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget your husbands. Amen. Hey, that wasn't an amen spot. The peacemaking meeting scheduled for today has been canceled due to a conflict. Sermon for this morning, Jesus walks on the water. Sermon for tonight, searching for Jesus. Not sure if I should read this or not. Barbara remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She's also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes from Pastor Jack's sermons. Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. Irving Benson and Jesse Carter were married on October 24th in the church. So ends a friendship that began in their school days. All right, get your Bibles out. Let's make a confession over our Bibles. We need all the help we can get this morning. Praise God. Say, this is my Bible. It's God's word to me. And I believe all of it. From Genesis to maps. And I'll receive absolutely everything God has for me today. In the name of Jesus. All right, be excited. Praise God. Praise God. Romans chapter 12. Continuing on this thought of information, application, transformation. We're on a trip, praise God, and we want to make sure we get the transformation. Work that God's going to do, but there are some things that we need to do along the way to get to that place. I can say with surety, every one of us as we sit here this morning have parts of our lives that need to be transformed. Amen. Every one of us, praise God. But the good news is that certainly is a possibility. It's something that God wants to do and something that we want God to do. So we're going to learn to cooperate with him and get that done. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's just what you should do. Use the members of your body to serve God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Two choices: conformed or transformed. Either the society moves upon us and from the outside gets us to conform to it. And listen, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we'd have to say all of us have allowed that to some extent. If you've lived for very long, you think there are things that you do today that you wouldn't have done 20 years ago. It would have felt wrong 20 years ago, and now somehow it feels right. It feels okay. So we're being influenced from the outside, but God wants to influence from the inside. And when the change happens from the inside, it's a permanent change. It's a lasting change, and that begins to change the outside, and then things begin to make more sense. So we want to get to transformation. We talked about information, just data, facts, those kind of things that we need to get. And let me refresh your memory, because it's been a couple of weeks here. We need information just like fire needs fuel. There's got to be something there to work with. It's not, faith isn't just with nothing to work with. It's not really a leap in the dark. It's a standing strong on the Word of God. It's having something to stand on, the information of the Word of God. The Word is the information that we need. The Word found, according to the Bible, when you find the Word, it brings health and life. And it's not, praise God, in this country, it's not hard to find. You can have all the Bibles you want, praise God. You can study it. We talked about there are serious hindrances to receiving information. Mark chapter 4 talks about, things like being hard-headed. You set in your way of thinking and nobody's going to tell you. Blockages such as pride, poor self-image or tradition. Attention robbers such as anxiety. Attraction to things that you shouldn't be attracted to, things that are forbidden, that can very easily distract us from the information that we need to receive. We also talked about that we must continue hearing and receiving information. It's not what we heard in the past, it's what we're hearing on a continual basis that's making a difference, and that's because we need to be persuaded. Just hearing it once a lot of times doesn't persuade you, but you hear it again. I mean, the television, the radio, the newspaper, they all know that. They don't put one commercial out there and you never see it again. You see it over and over again. So they're trying to persuade you. They have ways of making you think you need something that you didn't even know that existed last week. But they're good at that. But God is also good through His Word of bringing things to our attention if we give His Word the opportunity. Accumulating information without applying it can lead to an inflated ego. Knowledge puffs up. It's not just about how much knowledge you get, it's about what you're going to do with it. And so obviously information by itself is not enough. Now, we started talking a few weeks ago about application. Looked up application in the dictionary, and it says the act of applying. It's always nice when they do that. But apply just literally means to put into action, and it's about persistent attention. If you're going to apply something, you didn't just see it once and then say, that was good. You're going to persistently give attention to it and then begin to put it into action. We talked about why we don't apply what we know. Some of the things I was thinking about. Sometimes it's because we've given too much credit, too much power to the people around us and think that they're controlling us and therefore we can't change our own life. One of the ministers I heard recently say, we need to get a hold of the fact that you can be transformed. You can have the life that you really desire. There's a desire on the inside to have a wonderful life of harmony and peace and joy and health, and that we're all capable of that. And the people outside our life, whether that be someone close or someone distant, cannot really stop us, even though we give them credit for that sometimes. My boss is stopping, my parents, my kid, none of them, that's not true. Our lives in our hands. Sometimes we don't apply information because we really didn't get the information to start with. We really weren't paying enough attention. Sometimes it's the problem that, like I was talking about before, that we're just trying to gather information to ourselves and we just get puffed up about the information. I know more than you do and that kind of thing. People will say, you try to tell them something, well, I know. Don't tell me, I know. Well, when you get to that place, then obviously you can't be helped until you stop that attitude and change. Sometimes we don't apply because we don't follow the instructions. The Bible is an instruction book. Not only gives you information, but instruction on how to bring it to pass. And I think sometimes we don't apply it because it begins to look like it's going to be harder than we thought it was going to be. Thought this was going to be easy. I think my dad used to say, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. There are some things that are a little more difficult, but they're worth doing. Amen. Now, I was looking and studying through the Bible and looking for this word apply, because I had a feeling that God had more to say about it than I had seen before. So I found in some of the books of the Old Testament particularly that I think bring some things out. Go to Job chapter 5. Not a book that we read an awful lot. A pastor friend of mine years ago had just gotten a new Bible, and he got up to preach, and everybody turned to Job. And so he's getting his Bible out and turning, and turned out somehow he got a Bible that didn't have Job in it. Hard to preach from it when it's not there. It's an important book. And you know the story of Job, all the things that he went through, and then he blamed it on God, and he blamed it on, he felt he was self-righteous, those kind of things. But he came out with twice as much as he started out with, so he must have learned something. But in Job chapter 5, in verse 27, here's how it reads in the New Living Translation. We have found from experience, and this is not Job speaking or God speaking, this is Eliphaz the Temanite. We have found from experience that all this is true. We have found from experience that all this is true. Listen to my counsel and apply it to yourself. Now, it doesn't read that way in the New King James, but this apply it to yourself. The thought is there in the original language. The Amplified Bible says it this way: hear and heed it, and know for yourself for your good. So the idea of applying is in there. So he's saying, we've found all these things, and if you look in there for that whole chapter 5, he's been talking to Job. Now get the picture. Job, as all his children have died, his wife is saying, curse God and die. He's lost his health. He's got boils all over his body. He's sitting on an ash heap. And for a while, did pretty good because he didn't say anything. Problems began when he said, and then Job opened his mouth, and we begin to see the problems. One of the things we find out is he had a fear problem. He said in chapter 3, the things that I feared have come upon me. If you've got fear in the back of your mind, you better deal with it because it'll deal with you if you don't. Amen? And then you begin to hear things from Job like, well, I've lived better than everybody else. I don't deserve this, so what's this all about? Well, then his comforters come along. They weren't very good comforters, and here's one of them, Eliphaz the Temanite, and he's, for the whole chapter, saying things like this. He's saying, well, you must be doing something wrong. You got to be doing something wrong because God only punishes evil people, and obviously, you know, he's thinking it's coming from God. And so we don't know what it is. We can't find it, but something must be wrong. There must be a wrench in the system somewhere. You got to be doing something we don't know about because look at all the things that have happened to you. And besides, one of the things he said in the chapter is, besides, nobody's right with God. Well, in a sense, that was true back then, but it, certainly everybody, every born-again child of God today and positionally is right with God. Amen. We might not be living like that, but positionally, we've been brought to this place where we're children of God, sons of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. Amen. How many are glad for that? Praise God. Amen. All right, so here's this counsel that he's been given, and he's saying, we've learned these things by experience. Now, I thought, so what am I supposed to learn? What are you supposed to learn from this particular thing? Because this wasn't good counsel. Wasn't good counsel. So I'm thinking, we shouldn't be trying to apply every bit of information that we get. Sometimes, and particularly because he brings in the word experience, we've found this from experience. Just because somebody else has had an experience doesn't necessarily mean that we should be trying to produce the same thing in our lives.
Amen.
And they might have said, well, I tried. Here's some of the people say a lot. Well, I tried that and it didn't work for me. So that was their experience. So we've learned from experience that this doesn't work is what they're basically saying. But it might be exactly what you need to do. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, if you think about it, you probably can remember back to something where that it went that way. And you didn't do it at first because, well, you know, Aunt so-and-so or whatever, they tried and it didn't work for them. Well, if it's God's word,
right,
and he's speaking it to you,
right,
and it's witnessing to your heart, then that would be the thing to do.
Yeah.
Now, and it can even be more on a positive side, but I think we can throw ourselves up. I've told you about this before. When I was, Diane and I were in a gospel singing group. We called ourselves the Gospel Truth, traveled around the state of Pennsylvania, singing wherever they'd open up a door for us. And I had just read a testimony about a little girl, and I had already begun to have problems with my feet, and I had to wear a bigger pair of shoes because my feet would swell, and I was going to think so. So I read a testimony about this young girl who basically, I think she couldn't walk. I don't remember all the exact details of the testimony, but she was going to go to a healing meeting, and her faith was in doing it this way. This is what she felt God had said to her. I'm going to take my shoes, because I'm coming back walking. Praise God, she took her shoes and she came back walking. Well, that's a good testimony. But that's not necessarily what everybody needs to do in every situation. But I took that and I thought, well, I was starting to learn about faith. And I thought, I've got to find some way to get my faith out there and get it working. So I'm going to try that. So we were going away for the weekend, and this campground in southern Pennsylvania used to bring us in, put us up in this little travel trailer, and we'd sing for the weekend. It was a Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, that kind of thing. And the people wouldn't even come down sometimes for us to sing. They could hear the campground, the part where we were was right in the middle and the low part, and their camp was up around. So they'd sit up there and listen to us. Said, thanks for showing up. You know, we're going to take an offering. You know, but it was a fun situation. But what I did was I had a pair of shoes that I wasn't able to wear because my feet had swollen up to that extent. So I said, well, I'm going to go away for the weekend. I'm going to believe that when I'm coming back, I'll be able to get these shoes on. Well, it just worked against me the whole weekend. It just, I kept thinking, you know, if God had been in that would have worked. And if I'd gotten into it with following God's instruction, it would have worked. But I was just trying to copy what somebody else had done, their experience was not apparently the way that God wanted to work for me in that situation.
Amen.
So testimonies are good, but God knows you specifically.
Yes.
He knows how to work with you. Now go to Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. Verse 124 and 125. The whole of this chapter, the subject is the Word of God and how great the Word of God is. Calls it testimonies and statutes and those kind of things, but basically it's about the Word. Psalm 119, verse 124. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. For I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. Now, in the Living Bible, it says it this way. Lord, deal with me in your loving kindness and teach me, your servant, to obey. For I am your servant, therefore give me common sense to apply your rules to everything that I do. Give me common sense to apply your rules to everything that I do. It's kind of a translation of the word know in the King James there. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. To know is to know how, it means literally to be skillful in. To know your testimonies would be to be skillful in. There are people who have memorized Scripture and could give you a lot of information. They can quote a bunch. But then there are other people who are, can I call them technicians of the Word? They know, they not only can find the Scriptures, but they know what to do with them when they get there. Amen? There's a difference. Actually, there's Scripture in the New Testament that says that you could translate this, study to show yourself diligent. Remember that Scripture I think it's in Timothy? You could say study to show yourself a technician.
Amen.
To be a technician of the Word. I've kidded and said sometimes we know a lot about things, but we don't really know the thing. You could go to, if there was such a thing as a school for hammers, you go to school for hammers and find out every different thing that the handle could be made of and the shape and the peen part and the claw part and different kinds of hammers and all those kind of things and get out of that school and go to work for somebody and pick it up by the wrong side.
Amen.
It's not just all those details about what a hammer is that in that sense, but how to use it is important.
Amen.
Amen? I think that a lot of times we don't get the Bible out anymore, we don't apply it anymore to our life because we haven't learned how to use it. And it's supposed to be a tool for us. And it works wonderfully when you know how to use it. So, what's he saying here? Therefore, give me common sense to apply your rules to everything I do, or to be skillful in what you're telling me to do, to be skillful at doing it. The difference between just going through the rote of it and to be skillful in it. So we could say it this way. Ask God for wisdom and understanding and how to apply the information that you've been given. Let me say it again. Ask God for wisdom and understanding in how to apply the information you've been given. Have you ever had this happen to you? All of a sudden a little bit of Scripture just seems like it's lit up to you. Maybe you were reading or all of a sudden it came to your mind. You think, I think God's trying to say something here. Well, it probably is. And the thing to do would be to stop and meditate on that and see what is it that he's saying here. And if he's saying something, there must be some instruction for me. I need to take that and use it, and it'll be valuable in my life and valuable for the kingdom. I think a lot of times God's trying to do that, and we just get so busy with life that we just go on to the next thing and we miss opportunities. Let me try to illustrate it to you like this. Again, in my own life, we were just learning about faith. It was when that time we were traveling with a group, and there was another family that we met who had more teaching on faith than we had. And I had an awful sore on my foot. That sore got infected all the way through my foot. It was from the top all the way through the foot, from the bottom all the way through the foot to the top. And the infection would get in my system, and it was just really tough going at the time. So I could go to the doctor and get some antibiotics, and they would stem the tide and keep it from getting any worse, keep it, from getting into my system. If you let that go in your system, I think eventually you can die from those kind of things. So it wasn't good. So we were just starting to hear teachings by particularly Kenneth Copeland, I think, back then was the one we heard a lot. And talking about trusting God. Yeah, God wants everybody to be healed. That was a new concept to us. We didn't know that. We thought God wants to heal some people, but not everybody. And if he wants to heal everybody, then I'm going to be one of those everybodies. So we're trying to get a hold of what God's trying to show us. And the people that we were with suggested that probably the thing to do would be to just throw away that medicine. Because, if you really believe God, you don't need this medicine. And I think probably more than once, threw it away. And then things got so bad, I had to go and find some more. And we had very little money at the time. And we didn't have insurance at the time, I don't think, either. So, we had sometimes a doctor would just give us some sample pills that he had around or whatever, but it put us in a bad spot of trying to do it that way. But I was trying to do something, I was trying to do the right thing, but I didn't really get the instructions correct. And I really didn't know enough about the situation. It should have dawned on me, I've got to ask God. Why ask all these other people? Let's ask God. Let's find out from God what the plan is. And after a while, I discovered that medicine is really neither here nor there. God wants us healed. If the medicine helps in the process, thank God. Amen. Keeps us alive till we get there. Praise the Lord. Amen. There have been people who didn't take medicine and died. That didn't help the kingdom of God at all. Amen?
Amen?
So we're trying to get somewhere. We're trying to get where God wants to be. We're trying to get transformed. And if it's not working like it's supposed to, we must need to go back and look at the instruction again and ask God.
Amen.
Because he put us together in the first place. What is that I need to do? What am I missing here? How am I not applying this correctly? And you know what? He'd probably tell us. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 2. Starting in verse 1. Let me read this first five verses so you get the gist of the context here. Book of Wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, so that you incline your ears to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you will cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. First of all, look at the attitude God is asking us to have as far as his word. We are sons of God. This is the Father speaking to his Son, and God's our Father. That isn't a haphazard attitude towards the Word. That isn't, I'll read some today if I get an opportunity. Hope I don't get too busy this week and have some time for the Word. It's saying, treasure it.
Amen.
Incline your ear towards it. Apply it. Cry out for it. Lift up your voice. Seek if there's silver and search for its hidden treasures. Then understanding will begin to come. So it starts with an attitude. Usually starts with an attitude one way or another. But I think that a lot of the body of Christ has kind of gotten away from this attitude. We used to have this attitude towards the Word. Back in when we were starting the church, people loved their Bibles, and they were marking in their Bibles, and we'd teach one week, and they'd study that out and come back the next week and have all kinds of excitement and information that they received during the week because God was teaching them. God hasn't changed. And we might say, we're busier today than we've ever been. Well, haven't people always been busy? Really, we make time for what's important.
That's right.
And really, it's not even just in the amount of time spent, it's in the attitude that you have towards it. I got a couple minutes, I'm going to get into some word here. I might not read a chapter, but I'm going to get a couple verses and I'm going to try to understand and apply myself to it and see what God has for me. Now, you notice in verse 2, apply your heart to understanding. Apply your heart to understanding. The word apply in the Hebrew, to stretch out, to spread out, influence, extend, thrust aside, thrust away. Now, one thing that really stood out to me is influence. So to apply your heart to the word would be to influence your heart. You'd say by the word. I would think that there are a lot of things that are influencing our heart. The book of Proverbs also says that we should guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of the heart flow the issues, or one guy translates that, the boundaries of our life are set by these issues that are in our heart. And it's been influenced in ways. Your heart's been influenced in a lot of ways up to this point. By your life experience, by, man, all kinds of things. Your training or lack thereof. Hurts that have happened along the way have influenced your heart. So now God is saying, well, take the word and influence your heart with that. And notice it says heart and not mind. Although that's a part of it, I suppose, but the idea is to get in, learn to say it this way, to get at this heart level, not just the mental level, but get to the heart level to influence your life by the word of God. Amen. You know what? It's going to take some diligence for this. These things aren't going to just happen because isn't that nice? And it isn't going to just happen because you really, really would like it to happen. It isn't going to be like falling off a log, or if I just sit around here long enough, it'll happen to me. Remember my friend I shared when I was in Bible school, he'd sit at the table, and I thought he was studying for hours and hours. Basically, he was just sitting there at the table, hoping the book would somehow seep into his head and become part of him. But it doesn't work that way. It takes more diligence than that. Yeah. Anything that you and I have done in our life that amounted to anything took some diligence along the way.
Amen.
And transformation is worth the diligence. And I'll sit here before you today and say, there's some parts of my life I just don't like right now. Don't like the attitude. I don't like fighting with the same battles over and over again. I want some transformation. And I'm finding that you put some diligence in there and really apply the word to your heart and things begin to change. I don't know if you can see any change in me, but I had an epiphany this morning, praise God. I was spending some time working on my heart early this morning, and just, man, some lights came on. Glory to God. And just yesterday I was thinking, man, is this ever going to work? Is it ever going to change? And early this morning, praise God, it began to change. Some of it is just putting one foot in front of the other and continue to do what you know to do. But always open for more information to make any change that you need to make. And apply it to your heart. Let your heart be influenced. Apply your heart to understanding, awareness. Let your heart be influenced by the word of God so you have an awareness of yourself and what's really going on with you. People are probably telling you things about yourself that aren't even true. Certainly you believe some things about yourself that aren't even true. You need some awareness. You need some change. You know, the word of God will bring you to that. It'll bring you to that. It's interesting how it's the one verse that you've heard 100 times all of a sudden will click. Proverbs 22, verse 17. Well, this is good stuff. I hope you can get a hold of this morning. New Living Translation. Listen to the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my instruction. Apply your heart to my instruction. For it is good to keep these sayings deep within yourself, always ready on your lips. I am teaching you today, yes, you. I like that. I'm teaching you today, yes, you. So you will trust in the Lord. Now, there's a different word, apply, here. It's to appoint, to fix, set the mind to take one stand, to instruction, which in this case means knowledge, perception, skill, discernment, understanding, wisdom. And notice that the thought is brought in here in verse 18, for it is good to keep these sayings deep within you, in yourselves, always ready on your lips. There's a part to play in what we say. What we say is going to influence our heart. Our heart's been influenced in certain ways, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But it also works in the reverse direction. When we change what we say, it begins to influence our hearts. The first set of ears that hear what we say is us. Sometimes I think we think our confession is for everybody else, but really it's not for everybody else, it's for you. Got to begin to say the right things. Keep them deep within you and always ready on your lips. Boy, we were confessing people at one time. Weren't we?
Amen.
Maybe almost too much. I mean, we got over each other's case and we made it a guilt thing, and I'm going to make you confess right and I'm going to catch you when you're confessing wrong. It's not about that, but it is about saying what God says about you. And again, these one of these things that I think we've tried and it didn't seem to work, and so we gave up on it. But, you know, your confession is going to do one or the other. You're going to agree with God and His Word, or you're going to agree with what you feel and what's going on around you and pull yourself in the wrong direction. Most Christians are ready to speak negative, doubt-filled words rather than the words containing the knowledge, perception, skill, discernment, and understanding, and wisdom. I can tell you this, as far as we are now, we've got a ways to go. It is a job to change what you say. When we get together and we recognize some of these things, we might change it because we don't want to be embarrassed around other Christians and say some things. But when you're on your own, nobody else is watching, but somebody is. What you say then, when you bang your thumb or life rattles you a little bit, has a lot to say with what's really on the inside. And so it behooves us to say, it behooves us to shut up and begin to change those things, because it's affecting our heart. People say awful things about this. Mark did a great job last week in his teaching for communion about talking about not only what other people had said about him, but what he was saying about himself. And listen, if you think he's the only one, you haven't been paying attention at all. Some of that's in you. Proverbs 23, verse 12. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. In this case, the word apply means to lead, to bring or carry in, to cause to come. And instruction here is particularly in the direction of discipline or correction. Apply. Notice it's apply your heart again, not your head so much, but your heart. To instruction or discipline or correction. So, none of us like this discipline or correction thing. Especially don't like it when somebody else does it to us, but you'd be better off if you did it to yourself.
Yeah.
And begin to put a little discipline in your life. It's not about it's not about pleasing God. God is already pleased with us. He loves us. He forgives us. He's there for us. Amen?
Yeah.
It's not an earning thing. It's a, do you want transformation? Well, there's going to be some discipline required. Ugh. Yeah, but it's so worth it when you do.
That's right.
I see Jamie on Facebook talking about, worked out today, sure glad I did, you know. I asked her if she could work out for me too, but she hasn't been willing to do that yet. But be nice if you could though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, right.
But when I used to do that, I know that when you push yourself and go, that there really is not such a thing as motivation. Your motivation is just, if you're waiting for motivation, you're going to be waiting for a long time. Back somewhere along the way, you just got to do it. Discipline, according to the dictionary, regulated activity, prescribed habit, regimen, self-enforced practice. Self-enforced practice. I'm going to do this not because it's fun, but because it's the thing to do. It's what God's telling me to do. Bring that on your heart. You know what would apply? What would apply here? Put off and put on. That thought, that attitude didn't come from God. That's got to go. And then I don't know about you, if you've been doing this at all, and I find out, you know, 5 minutes from now, there it is again. Well, I put that off, and I put this on. And five more minutes, put that off, put this on. And like I said, you know, you get thinking after a while, is this doing any good? But it's going to. Just like exercise, you know, first day you might be sore, but after a while, begin to see the results. And it is so worth it. So worth it. The New Testament word for discipline, it means instruction, which aims at increasing virtue. Virtue means excellence. Instruction which aims at increasing, let's say, excellence. Do you want to be just so-so? You want to be sort of good, or you want to be excellent? God made us to be excellent. Amen? So let's let him do that. So let me put this in summary. These things we talked about. Someone else's experience may not apply to you. Ask God for wisdom and understanding in how to apply the information you've been given. Influence your heart with the word. Apply knowledge, perception, skill, discernment, understanding, and wisdom deep into your heart and always ready on your lips. An application will require discipline. That means regulated activity, prescribed habits, and self-enforced practice. Information, application is going to lead to what? Transformation. That's what we're after. Praise God.